In seminary, I had the chance to take a pastoral care for homelessness and poverty class. I have to say that it was one of my favorite classes that I took because we actually, part of the class was we interacted with St. Louis Winter Outreach. St. Louis Winter Outreach is a program that involves emergency shelters and actually going out to people and taking blankets, and then also being transportation, carrying, as we called them in our class, sojourners from the streets to the emergency shelters when the temperatures were always usually about below 20 degrees Fahrenheit. They do this every year, and in fact, it's now expanded to they're doing a summer outreach when it gets hot. They go out and they provide food. And it was all started by one person who didn't want to see another person die in cold on the street. I had to do it. I had to go participate for class. But there was something bigger about doing it. There was something special, some God moment as I interacted with sojourners that I understood what sends people to the streets, what makes it hard to get off the streets. I got to learn their context. I got to meet and know their names and view them as people and remember that they are human too. I had so much passion for St. Louis Outreach that when I then moved to Oklahoma City and had the chance to get involved with people there and the homelessness services they had, I was excited to get involved. Particularly, one of the things I did was help serve meals at a day shelter. And it was a completely different experience. When I was with St. Louis Outreach, I was learning about others. I was learning about myself. I was becoming vulnerable and able to share stories with one another. At the day shelter in Oklahoma City, we were serving meals. There was literally a barrier between us and those we were serving. We were giving, we were helping out those who came, but there was no chance to interact with one another other than say, here's your food. There was no chance to sit down and have a meal with them, to learn their stories, to connect with them. These two experiences kind of represent our two different views of hospitality. There's the hospitality of our society that benefits our own selves. Maybe we're being hospitable because it will help raise our status. Maybe we're doing it because we want people to feel gratitude for us. Maybe we're doing it because if we just invite that one person to the meal, if we sit and talk with them, well, they know so-and-so, and so-and-so knows so-and-so, and that's going to help me in the community. And while networking is good, don't get me wrong, the idea behind hospitality is still one of selfishness, even though we don't always want to admit it. In our scripture today, though, Jesus calls us to more. Jesus calls us to love and grace, to hospitality that God shows us. Dom Helder Camero, the Brazil Archbishop from 64 to 85, connects food and justice, and the way he talks about it is kind of how I see the different types of hospitality. He says that that when I feed the poor, they call me a saint. But when I ask why the poor are hungry, they call me a communist. When I feed the poor, it's about my status. When I try to look deeper into the problems, as God calls us to search for justice in the world, suddenly there's a little bit of sacrifice, like we talked about last week. hospitality of society was my experience in the day shelter. But the hospitality of God's table is asking why. Why are things like this? What can I do to help? What can I do to change and bring God's love into the world? Luke is all about hospitality, not just today, but throughout. In fact, it's the gospel with the most mealtime scenes. Throughout this summer, I've been preaching from Luke and talking about the different ways we can learn and experience hospitality. It's not as simple as, oh, I just need to be kind to this person for a half hour and hand them a meal. God's hospitality is about being in relationship with one another and with God. It's about loving our enemies as much as we love ourselves. And as we learn from Mary and Martha, it's about finding balance between loving one another, serving others, and loving and listening to what God calls us to do. And last week, hospitality and love also requires sacrifice and sometimes vulnerability and humility. Today, our scripture adds to this deeper understanding of God's hospitality. It reminds us that hospitality is more than just giving or eating. When you first glance at the scripture, it almost feels like a rules about manners and etiquette. But really, what we learn is a metaphor for the kingdom of God, for God's table. For at the table, when we sit down to a meal together, when we celebrate communion, that is the place where we are together as community, where we are in relationship. It's where intimacy happens. Now, there's actually two parables in the scripture. The first focuses on a lesson for the guests to sit at the lowest place. Jesus is quoting back to Proverbs that says, "Sit at the lowest place of honor so that you may be invited to come to a greater position." Now, as I said earlier, sometimes place can almost be strategized. Jesus is not saying go to the lowest place as strategy to take notice and get yourself moved up and get yourself praised in society. It is about sincere humility. As the preacher Fred Craddock says, Jesus does not offer a divinely approved way for a person to get what he or she wants. Taking the low seat because one is humble is one thing. Taking the low seat as a way to move up is another. This message becomes a cartoon if there is a mad competitive rush for the lowest place, with ears cocked toward the host waiting for the call to ascend. We are called to the lowest place because when we are called to have humility, to recognize that God and God's love and grace are for everyone, but that it is not our judgment, but God's judgment that matters. Jesus talking about humility and putting yourself in the lower seat was completely countercultural to the day. The Romans were all about going to meals and figuring out how you can raise your status. And yet Jesus comes and says, go to the lowest seat. When you sit in the lowest seat, when you have sincere humility, you say that you are a follower of Jesus. Humility is not only about ourselves, but it is about awareness of others beyond ourselves. It's not about denying our own power or ability or prestige, but acknowledging that others have equal power, ability, and prestige, and not assuming that ours is more than others. Sometimes when we think that we're being humble, we're almost just offering a lip service virtue. We talk about humility as a virtue, but it still gets us talking about about a person, but not about what they're doing. It still comes back to the self. It still assumes a position, something that lies at the heart of patriarchy, white supremacy, and heteronormity. The second part of our parable comes as a lesson for the hosts. Jesus says, "Invite the people that cannot repay you." This is even more countercultural message to what Jesus has been talking to, what Jesus is experiencing in the culture of the time. He's not just interrupting patterns of behavior, but the entire social order. Some of you may be familiar with the phrase quid pro quo, which comes from our Roman history. It is the exchange of one good or service for another. It is the basis of patronage and is inherently Roman. And Jesus is coming and say, invite people who can do nothing in return. Jesus is saying, do the direct opposite of what society tells you. In a world, in a society where someone did anything for another person because of what they could get out of it, saying, do it just to do it. Do it for those who you won't get something from. Jesus was calling them then, and I'm calling us now to kingdom behavior, to how God invites us. God gives us love, and while we try and return it, we're never perfect. And so when we combine these two lessons, we have this larger definition of hospitality. Again, the great Fred Craddock, who's a well-known disciples preacher, and just words stuff beautifully. Hospitality, then, is not having each other over on Friday evenings, but welcoming those who are in no position to host us in return. Nor does the text speak of sending food to anyone. Rather, the host and the guest sit at the table together. The clear sign of acceptance, of recognizing others as one's equals, of cementing fellowship, is breaking bread together. God has already invited us. God continues to invite us over and over to come and sit at the table. We all have a seat. We are all equally important and valuable in God's eyes. It is society, it is our human self that creates the division. One of the specific experiences I had while doing winter outreach was working at the shelter and getting to have a meal with them. Instead of serving, I was able to sit at the table with them, to share a meal, to listen, to recognizing these men and women I had just met would only know for a minute, for in that minute, letting them know that they are human. By listening to them, by recognizing their names, by listening, hearing their stories, I gave them worth. I gave them a voice. I did it not because I had to. I didn't do it for the recognition. I kind of did it for class credit, but I all still did it and chose to do it because there was this deeper feeling of love and hope. This recognition that maybe I could bring some hope and joy into the world for a couple minutes. One of my professors in seminary, Dr. Niles, talks about how when we interact with one another, when we share stories of how we view God, we gain a larger understanding and enrich our experience of who God is. Because God is bigger than anything. And in these moments, when we had these conversations at the table, God became a deeper experience for me. Now, with all the things that we did, whether we were shuttling in our cars or working in the shelters, we still had to have boundaries. Jesus still reminds us from previous sermons, we talked about boundaries and the importance of recognizing and not letting ourselves burn out, with the importance that sometimes we have to say no, that sometimes we have to look at what will really help one another, and that's not always giving people what they want, and it can be frustrating. But sometimes when we just give and give and give, we don't teach one another. We don't give worth to one another. We don't help others to see the worth they have in themselves. Boundaries are important for ourselves and for others, because God still calls us to be good stewards. We don't want to lose our own self-worth in the process of giving worth to others. Now, as humans, we will slip. We will divide and devalue and criticize others and ourselves. We'll become more judgmental than helpful. We'll slip back to society's version of hospitality, to wanting what society says we should want. We'll slip back into pride, status, power, sharing what's convenient for us and not necessarily what people need. But the beauty of God's love and of God's table is that we're all invited. We're already invited. We're always invited to come to the table, to come to God, to experience love and grace and forgiveness, to come back into relationship. The great Henry Nouwen describes true hospitality is an open response to the dignity of each and every person. When we receive the stranger on the stranger's term, only those of us that have found the center of our love, the center of our lives, that have humbled ourselves in front of God, then and only then can we give our hearts. God has already invited us to the table. Now, from this day forward, we are called to keep God's hospitality and share it with one another. May it be so.